translation. When a man is non-envious and does not desire ill fortune for anyone, he is equipoised. For such a person, all directions appear happy. Purport. Prabodhananda Saraswati said, Vishwam Purna Sukhayate. When one becomes Krishna conscious by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, for him the entire world appears happy, and he has nothing for which to hanker. On the Brahma Buddha stage or the platform of spiritual realization, there is no lamentation and no material hankering, na sochati na kankshati. As long as one lives in the material world, action and reaction will continue. But when one is unaffected by such a material actions and reactions, he is to be considered free from the danger of being victimized by material desires. The symptoms of those who are satiated with lusty desires are described in this verse. As explained by Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, when one is not envious even of his enemy, does not expect honor from anyone, but instead desires all well-being, even for his enemy, he is understood to be Paramahamsa, one who has fully subdued the lusty desires for sense gratification. Om Gyana Timirandasya Gananjana Shalakya Chakshuru Militamina Tasma Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschata Deshatarine Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. Thank you for coming for Srimad Bhagavatam class. I would like to ask blessings from senior Prabhupada disciple and other devotees so I can say something and inspire you to take Krishna consciousness more seriously. So this verse is a very, very deep verse, and I was thinking what to speak about, and one point came to me how most of our problems in Krishna consciousness we have because our desires. If you carefully look in Srimad Bhagavatam or Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's full of descriptions of devotees and demons and all kind of people having desires. And because of these desires, they have so many problems in their lives, their spiritual lives or their material lives. So I'd like just to say a few things about this. It's many examples, but one example that is very, very good example is from Srimad Bhagavatam, about King Banasura. He was a great demon, and he got benediction from Lord Shiva to have 10,000 or 1,000 arms. So he was very strong personality. He was able to defeat anybody. So one day he came to Lord Shiva and he says, "Well, you know, you gave me so many arms now. I cannot defeat nobody can defeat me. I'm too strong. So I don't have nobody to fight with. What should I do? You know, send me some enemy so I can defeat him." So he's praying to Lord Shiva, trying to please him, so Shiva send him some personality that he will be able to fight with. And then Lord Shiva just tell him, okay, I will send you one person, but this person will not only defeat you, will crush your ego, will defeat you fully. So then Banasura was very happy, I'll be able to fight with somebody equal to me. So he got benediction and Lord Shiva left. But then what happened? It's very interesting how our desires working very subtly. So when you get desire, when you have desire, you get a result from your desire. And then what's happening? Nothing didn't happen to him personally or directly, but his daughter has a dream. His daughter was named, what was his daughter's name? Usa. So his daughter was named Usa. She had a dream, and in a dream, grandson from Krishna came. And she united with him in a dream. And then she woke up and she wanted to meet this personality. So she was wondering how to find out this personality. So she had a friend named Chitraleka. And Chitraleka, is explained, was a great mystic yogini. So she was able to find out anything about anything. So then she started to write pictures, trying to find out. She was writing different pictures, painting different pictures for Usa, to different Gandharvas, different you know, different personalities, to find out, okay, is this personality that you dreamt of? No, this one, no. So finally they came to Aniruddha. So Aniruddha, when she painted this, then immediately Usha said, yes, this is this personality. I want to get him. Please bring him to me. So then Chitraleka, by mystic power, she went to Dwaraka and she brought Aniruddha to place of Usha in her quarters. So she brought him there. And then they have been together. Immediately they fell in love and everything. And then they've been doing, you know, enjoying life and everything. And then guards and soldiers who have been protecting daughter from Banasura, they noticed that in behavior of Usha, that something is wrong. She's associating with men. So just by observing the moves of personality, even normal personalities in this age, they have been able to notice difference between what's going on. If they're performing any sinful activities, if they're performing their dharma properly, just by moves, behavior, or speech, they can notice who is sinful or who is not. Such was age. So amazing was people, even normal people in this age have been so powerful. So when they noticed this, they immediately, you know, Banasura came and they captured Aniruddha, and, you know, in fight, first was fight going on, but they defeated him and then arrested Aniruddha, and then he was arrested, and then rainy season went off 4 months in Dwaraka, and he was not back. So everybody was wondering where is Aniruddha, what's going on with him. So then Narada Muni came and he said that actually he was arrested by Banasura's soldiers. So like this, and then Banasura was keeping him arrested, and then Krishna went to fight to save his grandson. He went to fight with Banasura. So he came there and he defeated many soldiers, and finally he went to fight with Banasura, and what happened? Banasura attacked him, and then Krishna immediately cut all his thousands hands, and then he would just want to finish him over and just cut his head and kill him. But then Shiva came and said, please don't kill him. You know, you gave benediction to Prahlad Maharaj. Whoever is in a line, in your line, in your family, you cannot kill nobody. No, doesn't matter. Demon, bad or good person, not kill him. So Krishna says, yes, I will not kill. I will not kill Banasura. I just want to teach him and crush his ego. So now we can see from this pastime how Banasura had desire long time back, even before probably was his daughter born. But then Shiva gave him benediction, and so much time went over, and then just his desire came into heart of his daughter, and then it's such a way manifested, so his ego was crushed, and person who's meant to defeat him, defeated him. So amazing arrangement Krishna makes for everybody to teach him the lessons because of his desire. So he wanted desire, fulfilled his good desire, but his ego was crushed fully. So it's interesting pastime. And then another contrast pastime is very interesting. I was reflecting on pastime of Chota Haridas. So Chota Haridas, we can say he didn't have material desires. He didn't have any desires. As far as I know, he didn't have any desires. So one day Lord Chaitanya was going to take a lunch at Bhagavan Acharya's house. So he went there to take lunch, and then Chota Haridas used to sing bhajans and kirtans for Lord Chaitanya regularly. So he was also there. And then Bhagavan Acharya told him, please go collect some rice from one old lady. Go collect some rice so I can cook for Lord Chaitanya. So he went to collect some rice, brought rice, and he cooked rice and made a nice feast. Lord Chaitanya was very happy. He ate the feast. He was glorifying prasadam and everything. And then after they finished, then they went to a quiet place, and he asked Bhagavan Acharya, from where do you get this rice? Then he says, Chota Haridas brought me. So from where? Then he said, from such and such lady. So then he said, now tell Chota Haridas I don't want to see him anymore. And then, you know, he just left. And then devotees told Chota Haridas what happened. And then Chota Haridas, we know the story, he started to fast and he was very upset and, you know, sad, why this happening to me? I didn't have any desires, but still Lord Chaitanya teaching me some lesson. So he was fasting, and this was going for 1 year on and on. He wanted to make suicide immediately, but devotees, someone said, don't do, wait, because, you know, Lord Chaitanya will take you back. So after 1 year, nothing happened, so he made the suicide. This is end of the pastime, but interesting thing, in this purport, Srila Prabhupada is quoting Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He's saying that we have 7 lessons to learn from this pastime. This is Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur But Prabhupada is quoting him. Seven lessons to learn from this pastime of Jotaharidas. So I'll try to go through these pastimes just to, so we can reflect. So it says, first lesson to learn from this pastime is how to give up bad association. And then Prabhupada is saying in the purport, I'll just read. So he says, although Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is an incarnation of mercy, he nevertheless gave up the company of one of his personal associates, namely Junior Haridas. For if he had not done so, devotees would have taken advantage of Junior Haridas' fault by using it as an excuse to live as devotees and at the same time have illicit sexual connections. Such activities will have demoralized the cult of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and as a result, devotees will surely have gone to a hellish life in the name of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So it's a very deep lesson from his... although Lord Chotaharas didn't have any material desires, but still, because he went there, Lord Chaitanya, to establish Siddhanta, to establish what behavior should be, he just rejected Chotaharidas. It's very interesting. And then I was reflecting on this, how actually to give up bad association. What is the way to give up bad association? How to give up? So then I was thinking about Ambarish Maharaj pastime. Ambarish Maharaj had a brother. And this brother was very sinful and very... They call him Papa Raj. Sinful king. So he was very sinful and he was not devotee. So Ambarish Maharaj started to preach to him, trying to make him devotee, and didn't work out. So he called Narada Muni. So Narada Muni came and he says, what do you want? He said, help preach to my brother, make him devotee, try to help him, you know, because otherwise he'll go to hellish planets. So Narada Muni went there, and when he came to house of brother from Barish, he was drinking alcohol and doing all kinds of things. And he says, I don't want to see you, don't preach to me. And Narada Muni was trying. And what happened? He took a bottle of wine and everything, just started to throw at Narada Muni. So then Narada Muni just said, Narada Muni ran away, but before he ran away, he said, you know, you don't need to listen to me, but just when you come to Yamaraj, just ask him one question. And then he says, what? He says, asking question, what will happen to sinful person who meets pure devotee once only? What will happen to this person? So then he went, Narada went away, and then of course, this king was... doing all kind of sinful activities over the years, and death came. So he left his body, and then he came to Yamaraj. So he came to Yamaraj, and Yamaraj says, okay, you've done so much sinful activities, you need to suffer in hellish planets for many years. So then he says, you know, he was really feeling bad, and you know, I'll suffer so many years. So he remembered Narada Muni, he met him, he remembered what he told him, you know, just ask question, Yamaraj, what will happen with person who met pure devotee only once. So then he remembered this and he asked Yamaraj, please give me one benediction. I want to ask you one question. So Yamaraj says, okay, you will suffer so much now, but okay, I'll give you, ask this question. So he says, what will happen to person who meets pure devotee, advanced devotee, only once? So when Yamaraj heard this, he was thinking deeply. He said, you know, I don't know how to answer to this question, because, you know, I'm dealing only with sinful people here. So he says, let's go to Brahma, let's ask him. So they went to Brahma and asked him, you know, Brahma, please help us, you know, I don't know how to answer this question. What will happen to a person who meets pure devotee only once? So then they asked him, Brahma said, you know, I don't know how to answer these questions because I'm dealing with creation, I don't have time for this. So he's go to Lord Shiva, ask Lord Shiva. So they went to Shiva and asked Shiva same question, and then Shiva said, you know, I'm here dealing with so many ghosts and so many things, I don't have time for, you know, for this question. Go to Lord Vishnu, ask him. So then they went to Lord Vishnu and they asked Vishnu this question, you know, what will happen with person who meets pure devotee only once? And then Vishnu said, you know what will happen? This person comes to me. So because Narada Muni gave you, you met Narada Muni, this is why you came to me. And now because Yamaraj brought you to me, now you stay here. Yamaraj, you go to do your duty, what you need to do. So it's very interesting pastime how just meeting only once pure devotee, you can get free from so many sinful activities. So what is point from this pastime? I was thinking, if you have good association of senior, sincere, advanced devotees, then naturally we'll be able to avoid bad association. naturally we will not need to try hard or something. Just naturally you'll be attracted by purity of this individual. So this is first lesson. Then second lesson from this pastime of Chota Haridas, Srila Prabhupada is explaining is how to keeping high standard of spiritual practice. So Prabhupada saying in the purports following, by chastising junior Haridas, the Lord set the standard for acharyas, or the heads of institutions propagating the Chaitanya cult, and for all actual devotees. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to maintain the highest standard. So this is a very interesting point. By this lesson, by this Chota Haridas pastime, Lord Chaitanya is teaching us how to keep high standard of spiritual practice. So I was thinking about this high standard, what this means. I was thinking about Lord Ram, how he was perfect exemplary leader, perfect devotee without any mistake. So then one devotee said a really, really nice point. He says, a devotee or a leader has three particular qualities that without these qualities you cannot be advanced or pure. So he says three things you need to have good, to be good leader, to be good. So he says one of the qualities is talent. It's explained, if you have talent, the talent is like a sword. You cannot just watch the talent. You need to be, a sword need to be used, not only watched. So in the same way, if you have talent, particular talent, singing or worship, or cooking, you should use this talent for service of Krishna. And then we can see Lord Ram, he didn't have only talents, but he used these talents. So he knew Srimad Bhagavatam, he knew Vedas, and he applied these Vedas. And sometimes in our spiritual life, we know so much. We are listening every day, Srimad Bhagavatam. But how much we apply from this, what we hear, what we know. So one thing is talent is explained. Then second quality is explained is attitude. Attitude is explained is like sweet rice. It's sweet rice without sugar is not sweet rice. So same thing, if you have talent, but you don't have right attitude, this talent you will not use in the right way. You will not be able to use the right way. But you have talent and right attitude, then actually you can do something. So again, Lord Ram, we can see in his life, he was having so many talents, doing so many great things. But at the same time, his attitude towards devotees, towards his family, how he was acting with them, he was always grateful. He was always caring. His attitude was good. So then it's explained, maybe you have talent and maybe you have attitude, but he says you must have character also. It's explained that talent and attitude brings one to success, but character helps one to maintain it. So it's explained that Rama was always demonstrating high character. He was always perfect in his character, his speech, and like this. So we're just thinking about how to keep high standard, and the best example is Lord Ram. During good things happening to him, bad things happening, he was always maintaining high standard spiritual practice. So then another example about keeping high standard of spiritual practice is one story from Purana that I just got recently. This story, it is explained that once two birds had eggs, so they went to travel around the world, and they left these eggs in ocean, and they asked personality of ocean, please keep these eggs for us, when we come back we'll take them back. So they went to travel. So after some time when they came back, they had asked ocean, please give us our eggs back. But ocean was not able to find these eggs, he was not take care of them. So then two birds, mother and father, had been very angry, and they said okay, now we will dry you. We'll take drop water out and we'll dry you. This is what we'll do. And then they try to drop by drop taking water out from ocean and throwing out. So they want to dry the ocean. So looking, these other birds saw this and they tried to help their friends. So many, many thousands, millions of birds came and tried to drop by drop take dry the ocean. So this was going for some time, and then Garuda came and he says, what all of you doing? You're doing such crazy, this is not possible, how we can dry the ocean? And he says, no, we are determined in our practice, we will do this, we will dry the ocean, doesn't matter what. So they're doing this, then Garuda didn't know what to do, so he went to Lord Vishnu. And he said, Lord Vishnu, these foolish birds, they try to dry ocean, how is this possible? And then he says, no, they're not foolish, they are very intelligent, he says. In any spiritual practice, you need to have strong determination, doesn't matter how difficult it is. So it doesn't matter how difficult it is, and impossible even, you should have strong determination and high standards of spiritual practice. So this is one of the lessons what we can learn. So then Lord Shiva came, Lord Vishnu came, and then he helped them. He ordered the ocean police. You know, he gave him intelligence to find the eggs, and he gave eggs to birds. So it's a very interesting lesson. All the birds have been so insignificant, but they still achieved their goal just by having strong determination and sincerity in their practice. So I was just thinking, in our spiritual life, we're going through so much difficulties regularly, like devotees, purification, but what is our standard of spiritual practice? So this is a very nice example. So then another example, what I really like is a story of one farmer. This is also from one of the Puranas. One farmer who was growing vegetables. He was having a lot of vegetables. So often in the night, different wild animals used to come and then used to, you know, eat the vegetables. And then this farmer, you know, he was very angry. So one night he went, and in the night he was guarding the vegetables with bow and arrow. You know, whoever comes, you know, I'll kill him. So then he was waiting. In the night, a boar came, and he was starting eating vegetables. And then this farmer took the arrow and shot the boar. And boar ran away. He was not killed. But then he called Ram, Ram, Ram. And farmer was very pious. So immediately when he heard the name of the Ram, he's thinking, you know, what is this? You know, is this Supreme Personality of Godhead? Did I just kill Supreme Personality of Godhead? Or what is this? So not knowing what's happening, and he was seeing this boar going to cave. So he was following the boar quickly, and he came in front of cave, and you know, he was not able to come in, so he just sat down and started to fast. For 2 days he was fasting, feeling sorry, okay, I killed, or I offended Supreme Personality of Godhead because he heard the name of Ram. So then, after 2 days, a voice from cave came out. It says, you know, why are you fasting? You know, you didn't do any offense. He says, no, I have done offense. I've done offense. You know, I offend the Supreme Personality of God. He says, no, just give up this. He says, but how can I give up? You know, I just killed you. If king finds out what I'm doing, you know, killing great personalities, trying to offend, you know, offending Supreme Personality of God, what will happen? He said, but nobody will believe you even what you're saying. He says, no. I will bring king here and please you be my witness that what I have done. And then I'll be peaceful. So then Vishnu, being compassionate, he said, okay, bring king. So he went to the kingdom and he said, king, please, you know, come there. You know, I just have spoken with Supreme Personality of Godhead. Come there. You know, I offended him. And, you know, if you can, you know, come. So then he... immediately interesting actually how king, just by hearing these words from farmer, he was accepting this and just following because he was seeing this farmer like a great devotee. So he accepted his words and immediately went to cave. He went to cave and then they have been waiting there, and then a voice came out. He says, you can pour the milk in the cave and honey. So they start to put milk and honey in a cave, and then from the bottom of cave, beautiful deities start to come out. More milk and ghee and honey came on this spot, deities start to come up, and they have been very happy and blissful like this, king offering obeisances. So then after deity was manifested, then king offered prayers and everything, and then again, Vishnu said good lesson actually, how just by following farmer you achieved perfection of your life. Just by following, by having faith in farmer, who is in other words your spiritual master. So it's a very interesting point, also one lesson, why to maintain, what means to maintain high spiritual practice. Following the acharyas, following the spiritual master, bona fide spiritual master. This is one of the lessons also what we can learn from this. So this is one thing. Then... So it's explained, first lesson was bad association. Second lesson was high standards of spiritual practice from Chota Haridas' pastime. And then Srila Prabhupada mentioning that third lesson. What is third lesson? Third lesson, renunciation of devotee. So then Prabhupada says, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed that a pure devotee shall be simple and free from sinful activities. For thus one can be his bona fide servant. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught his followers how to observe the renounced order strictly. So again, see, now again, lesson, what means renunciation? So I was reflecting on this, I remembered one pastime from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is known to speak very strongly about renounce order of life. He was having many sannyasis. So one day he was giving class about renunciation, speaking very, very strongly. So after class, he went to his room and he was doing his writing on his table. And next to his table, he had a plate of fruits, bhoga, staying there. So these fruits have been there, and one moment from window, monkey jumped in and took the two bananas and ran away. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, when he saw this, he immediately jumped. And the moment he jumped, all ink from table went on his manuscripts and his writings and fell everything over, damaged, destroyed everything, all manuscripts. And he went with stick, run after monkey. And one cook saw this, what happened. So then he came to Bhaktisiddhanta. He said, what is this? You know, you just spoke so highly about renunciation and then you're running after monkey just because of two bananas. Why is it like this? So then it's explained. Then interesting answer Bhaktisiddhanta said. He said, you know, you don't know what this fruit is meant for Radharani. So whatever is for Krishna, we should take special care and and not give up nothing, not you know, special care of anything what should be offered to Krishna. So it's very interesting point. We like devotees, because of our chanting, because of devotional life, we're getting so much benefits, and even material desires sometimes getting fulfilled. So we get so much material opulence sometimes. Sometimes you see devotees, they don't have any money, but they travel all over the world. You see devotees, they don't have money, but somehow whatever they need is provided. So what means an renunciation? How are you using this what you get? So I think this is the best renunciation. How are you using what you have? If you use in the right way everything for Krishna, then this is the highest renunciation we can do. So this is one of the points what I was thinking. Then another point I was thinking from Srimad Bhagavatam, pastime of King Nriga. So we all know this pastime that once Krishna's family, they went to picnics around Dwaraka. So they went around Dwaraka and they have been very thirsty. So they went to well. It's well, right? To well. Well, they went to well and they wanted to take water out, and they saw a big lizard inside. So they saw lizard inside, and then immediately they have been feeling sorry for him staying in a well. So they went to they went to Krishna and says, you know, please help this lizard, take him out. You know, he's suffering inside. So they took, Krishna came with left hand, he took him out, and this lizard is immediately transformed into beautiful demigod. Shishi Radha Gokulananda ki Sitaram Lakshmi Hanuman Shishi Gora Nitai ki Jai Shri Prabhupada ki. So then this lizard transformed into beautiful demigod. So then Krishna knew, but he asked him, who are you? What is this? Then he said, in previous life I have been King Nriga. I have been King Nriga, and I was a very charitable personality. I was giving a lot of charity to brahmanas and to saintly people. So once two brahmanas came, so I gave them cows and like this. And then another brahmana came, I gave him 1,000 cows. And then another brahmana came, I gave cows. And then many brahmanas have been around. And then one cow from one brahmana went to another brahmana, to me back. And then I took this cow and gave to charity to another brahmana. So then this brahmana, King Nriga, noticing what happened, he says, you know, give me back this cow. Give me back this cow, you know, because it went from one brahmana to you, it's not yours actually. But this brahmana didn't want to give back, and he was very angry. He said, how you can, you know, take something what you're giving to me back? He says, no, I will not give you. And he was very angry. And another brahmana from who cow went away, he was also cursing him. So like this, because of curses of great personalities, King Nriga finished it like lizard. And what is now lesson from this? Where is this renunciation? So I was thinking how King Nriga actually accepted anything good or bad just for service for Krishna. So he was doing his dharma, he was doing his duty, serving in the best possible way he can do. And whatever good or bad comes, he was just accepting. And he took this like Krishna's arrangement. And then later on, Krishna gave him mercy and he went back to heavenly planets. So I was thinking, this is again renunciation, you know, seeing everything like Krishna, seeing Krishna hand in everything. So this is nice point, renunciation. Then another thing of renunciation, I was thinking about Jainanda. Jananda Prabhu, who was Prabhupada's disciple, and we all know Jananda Prabhu. And it's explained one story how he used to sell incense regularly in America to, you know, support the temple and everything, like Brahmachari this time. And he was so careful with Lakshmi that he was collecting a lot, but he was sleeping on park bench, not sleeping in some hotel or somewhere, just to not spend money, because he saw all this like Prabhupada money, he saw all this money like Krishna's money. So because of this, he was so renounced. So I was just thinking, what kind of mentality is this? To what kind of renunciation is this? You know, sleeping in a cold weather outside and like this. So this is one of the lessons what we can learn also. So then we spoke about renunciation. Then fourth lesson that Prabhupada is mentioning in this pastime of Chaturthas is no time to relax in spiritual life. So I'll just read lesson what Prabhupada is explaining. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to prove that his devotees are exalted and that their character is ideal. He kindly accepts his faithful devotees and teaches them how much tribulation and disturbance can be produced by even a slight deviation from a strict principles of devotional life. So no time to relax in spiritual life. I was meditating on this and recently I was reading Prabhupada Lilamrita. And then I found a nice story about Prabhupada, how Prabhupada is always conscious and always meditating on instructions of the spiritual master, never relaxing in this spiritual practice. So one pastime, one Srila Prabhupada, we all know, he used to distribute back to Gotan magazines. So once he went to library to distribute magazines. So he went there, and then like this person working there, he said, "Oh, this is nice, I will take." But he says, "I want to give you some advice. Why don't print books, you know, books will stay forever, but these magazines people read once and they're finished." So then Prabhupada heard this, and later on he met one police officer or something, and this person told him same thing. And then Prabhupada immediately picked up this, and he was immediately saw spiritual master's instruction in this person, spiritual master speaking through this person. "Okay, print the books. You know, why don't write the books? Why are you writing these magazines?" So it's interesting how Prabhupada is always so conscious, never relaxing in spiritual practice, always meditating how to preach, how to spread the movement, how to, you know, how to establish Chaitanya, Lord Chaitanya movement in the world. Always meditating. He was never relaxing. So it's very interesting. Then another nice pastime from Srimad Bhagavatam about how we don't have time to relax in spiritual life is about the demon Shambhara. So demon Shambhara, it's explained that he was a very sinful personality and he was destined to be killed by son from Rukmini, Pradyumna. So he knew his destiny, and immediately when Pradyumna took birth, what happened, he was just a few days old, Pradyumna. He went there, he took the baby, he threw them in the river, just to, you know, to be safe from death, to protect himself. When baby is young, so I'll kill him. So he threw him in the river, and then years went by, and how this baby, just when he threw baby, he went back to his place, and this baby was floating in the river, and then a big fish came and swallowed the baby, and then fish there, and then one fisherman came, collected the baby, and then captured the fish, and then wanted to present to his king, who was actually Shambhara king, you know, cut the fish, and he inside found the baby, and then this baby didn't know what to do with this, so he gave to main servant of Shambhara demon, and this main servant was taking care of baby and everything, and then baby was very quickly growing, not just, you know, years, it was in the days grow very quickly into a young man, strong man, and this was actually Pradyumna, we all know, because Shambhara threw him in the river. So then when he grew up, then immediately this main servant, who was in previous life actually his wife, he understood who is this, and he told him, "You know, Shambhara wanted to kill you. He threw in the sea, you should kill him." So then, of course, Pradyumna, we all know, he killed him, and they went back to Dwaraka. But it's interesting pastime how, you know, so we have so many anarthas that are attacking us all the time, and we're trying to close our eyes and don't see how, you know, how many anarthas and problems we have. Shambhara was destined to be killed by Pradyumna, and whoever is meant to be by killed by Krishna, nobody can protect him. So he was just closing in his eyes, trying to, you know, make all kind of arrangements to protect himself. But he was not able to do. So in the same way, we cannot relax in our spiritual life and expect that everything just go away. We need to really be sincere in determined in our spiritual practice. So this is one time to, one thing to meditate on. Then another example about no time for relaxations that Prabhupada giving example. It's a story about Narada Muni. So Narada Muni, we all know he's great devotee, pure devotee. He once went to Lord Vishnu and chanting on his Veena, he was singing Narayan, Narayan, Narayan. And he came there and he has Lord Vishnu question, who is the highest, the best devotee of yours? Expecting that Vishnu will say, of course, Narada Muni, you are the highest. But then he didn't get the answer he wanted. Vishnu said, no, the greatest devotee of mine is one devotee living in one farmer living in one village. He's the greatest devotee. So then Narada Muni, being disappointed and still a little bit surprised, he asked, well, who is this person? He says, don't worry, we'll speak later. First, I want to give you one duty. Then Narada Muni says, what, Vishnu, what can I do for you? So he says, I want you to take pot of oil and put in your head and go around the world and bring me back as soon as possible this full pot of oil, but you cannot spill nothing out. So then he took this pot and have done what Lord Vishnu said. In a moment he came back, and then when he came back, you know, Narayan said, you know what, Lord Narayan said, you know, you brought back. He said, yes, here is. And then he says, okay, I will ask you one question. How many times you remembered my name while traveling around the planet? Then Narada Muni says, oh, but I didn't have time to remember you. I just had done my duty. He says, you see this farmer who is my best devotee. In any situation, he always remembers me. No matter what happens, what duty I give him, what he's doing in life, he always remembers my name. But I have given you this duty, and you know, to bring all around what you didn't remember. But he says, but you know, I just followed. He says, yeah, this is why you're not the greatest. This is why this farmer greatest. So of course we know Narada Muni, he is great, but he just wanted to teach the lesson, all of us neophytes, what means to be really sincere in practice. So this is one of the lessons. So we have three more lessons Prabhupada explaining. So fifth lesson from this Chota Haridas pastime is this danger of offense to Vaishnava. So Prabhupada is explaining in purport, by chastising junior Haridas, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibited his mercy towards him, thus showing how elevated was junior Haridas' devotion for him. Because of this transcendental relationship, the Lord corrected even a slight offense committed by his pure devotee. Therefore, one who wants to be a pure devotee of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu shall give up all material sense gratification, otherwise the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are very difficult to attain. So I was meditating on this, how even a slight offense, slight mistake, slight offense to Vaishnava can destroy whole our spiritual life, no matter what we have accumulated over life or over lifetimes. So best example actually from this, it's also from Srimad Bhagavatam pastimes of Samba, who desired to marry Lakshmana, who was daughter from Dhritarashtra. So he wanted to marry her, and he went there, and you know, he kidnapped Lakshmana, and he wanted to run away with her, but then Kurus came and they captured it, arrested him, because there have been many strong personalities there, arrested him, and then so then he was captured, arrested, and then after some months in a prison, Narada Muni again came to Krishna Balarama. He says, you know, Samba is arrested, you know, what should we, you know, we should go there and do something. Krishna wanted immediately to fight with them, but then Balarama says, let's do it in a nice way, let's first ask them to give us back, we don't need to fight. So Balarama went there to, in peace, to try to make arrangement for the, so no fight happens. He come there, and he asked them, you know, please give back, you know, free the Samba, you know, why we need to fight, otherwise fight will happen. And then everybody started, all the kings, you know, Duryodhana, everybody started to insult Balaram. Balaram become very angry. He says, you know, how you can say things like this? What are you doing? And what he has done, he took his plow, his weapons, and he dragged whole city into Ganges. And this at this point, when they notice what Lord Balaram is doing, they stop. He says, okay, we'll give you back, you know, take Samba, take my daughter, whatever you want, doesn't matter. So I was thinking, this is a very good lesson. You offend Vaishnava, great personality, whole your family, whole your dynasty, your village, even your community can suffer because of offense, depends how great personality it is. So this is very nice example of in Srimad Bhagavatam how dangerous is offense to great personality. So then sixth lesson, Srila Prabhupada mentions, it's if one dies in such a celebrated holy place as Prayag, Mathura or Vrindavana, one can be relieved of the reaction to sinful life and then attain the shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So glory of the holy place, how powerful is holy place, Prabhupada is mentioning this. So I was thinking about this, how glorious is holy place, but even how holy Dham becomes glorious. Why? Because great personalities are there. So Srila Prabhupada, wherever he went, he made this place Dham. So he came, of course, to London. And we know all this story. Once when he came to London, Tribhuvana Prabhu was waiting next door to just put garland to Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada came and he wanted to put garland, but he was just watching Prabhupada and he was so bewildered, you know, so because Prabhupada was just shining, he was not able to put garland on Prabhupada. Prabhupada went by. So then I was meditating on this, and also Tribhuvana Prabhu saying, you know, how when Prabhupada was around, you just different world, you just holy Dham. So I was thinking, wherever great personalities, this is actually holy Dham. So we have our temples. Inside the temples, leaving devotees and visiting devotees, many great personalities around. So we never. All this. This is why place is glorious. So, and one nice purport is from Bhagavad Gita about glory of the holy place. Srila Prabhupada mentioning in first purport of first chapter of Bhagavad Gita. I'll just read to you. He says, because the battle was arranged to be fought in Kurukshetra, which is mentioned elsewhere in the Vedas as place of worship, even for the denizens of heaven, Dhritarashtra became very fearful about the influence of the holy place on the outcome of the battle. He knew very well that this will influence Arjuna and the sons of Pandu favorably, because by nature they are all virtuous. So we're just thinking about this. This is very, very powerful purport in Bhagavad Gita, how for devotees who practice spiritual life, holy Dham makes them even more powerful, makes their spiritual practice even more potent. So we all know when you go to Vrindavan, whatever you're doing, Vrindavan is 1,000 times more potent than in any other place. So this is a really nice lesson from Bhagavad Gita also, how this holy place, Kurukshetra, results were successful. They have been successful just because one of the reasons because they have been fighting in a holy place, why Pandavas have been successful, also one of the reasons. So glory of the holy place is discussed here. We're discussing, and then another story, glory of the holy place. One nice story from one of Prabhupada's god brothers. He's saying this story. This is from Bhakti Purushottamaji's book about Lord Jagannath. He was saying. He was interviewing a god brother from Srila Prabhupada, Srila Damodar Maharaj. So he's saying this beautiful story. Once he was taking darshan in Jagannath temple in Mayapur. And he used to be before Pujari there, so he knew the system of worship. So he was taking darshan there, and then he saw one person, Pujari, going to offer boga to Jagannath, but he didn't cover the plate. He didn't cover plate, so something fell under the plate when he was going to offer to Lord Jagannath. So he went there and offered boga, everything happened, and nobody was there around when he was taking darshan, only this devotee and Pujari. So he offered it, and later on he came back to take darshan, and then while he was taking darshan again, this Pujari was still there, and then one old lady in white came there and he says, you know, how you can offer to Lord Jagannath something which is not covered and which is contaminated, how we can do this? So then this devotee was reflecting, Prabhupada disciple, how actually you never know who is who in a holy place, in a temple, in a holy Dham. He didn't see this lady before when actual plate was going to be offered to Krishna, to Jagannath. But this person from nowhere came and corrected Pujari, gave him the lesson. So this is a nice point mentioned, how we don't know who is... who in holy Dham, so we must respect and be respectful to everybody. So in the last and final lesson Prabhupada is mentioning from Chota Haridas pastimes is power of devotional service. So Prabhupada writes, although a pure devotee of or faithful devotee may fall down, but nevertheless ultimately gets the chance to go back home, back to Godhead, by the mercy of the Lord. So I was reflecting about this power of devotional life, and also in Prabhupada Lilamrita, it is nicely explained. Once they asked Srila Prabhupada, what is the better, Lord Chaitanya's birthplace or his activities? So Prabhupada answered that his activities are much better than his birthplace. He says the activities of Lord Chaitanya were chanting Hare Krishna and distributing love of God to all people, and this shall be the activity of all devotees. So devotional life is, it's devotional practice, devotional service is very special. And one beautiful, beautiful, my favorite story from Ramayana, it's also about devotional life. It's explained that in Lord Ram's time, it was one hunter who has daughter, and this daughter was very not so beautiful, and he wanted to marry her. She was not so beautiful, but she had very, very pure heart. So he wanted to marry her, and then he, because he was hunter, he arranged many animals to be killed, like for the wedding and everything. And when this, her name was Shabari, when she saw this, she ran to the forest. So she went to forest, and she took shelter from one sage to instruct her. She took him like spiritual master. She didn't want to be any more part of material society. So she takes shelter of him. And how she was taking shelter of him, you know, he started to instruct her. And because he accepted like a disciple, then all other sages and his, you know, his friend sages, they rejected sage. How we can accept somebody who is so low class? Like your disciple, you know, this is not good. She's a very low class person. You cannot accept her. But this sage didn't care. He just accepted her like disciple and instructed her regularly. So years went by, and he was instructing her and, you know, teaching her about devotional life. And then at one point he was coming to point of death, and then he was leaving his body, and then he called his disciple Shabari and said, you know what, I want to give you last instructions. He says, you continue your spiritual life, your spiritual your devotional life nicely, do your service nicely and respect everybody. But then Shabari asked him, you know, you're leaving your body, I want to go with you. He says, no, you cannot come with me, but time will come and Lord Ram will come to your house. Lord Ram will come to her house. So then she accepted. You always keep your place clean and prepare offering for him when he comes. So then Shabari took this instruction very seriously. So years went by, and she became old. And one day he went to the lake in the forest to take some water. And how she was going to lake, still some sages, they felt very, you know, they have been very angry on her and everybody. They didn't accept her because she was from low caste. So they didn't accept her. So when she was taking water from lake, then one sage threw the stone in her feet while she was standing in the lake, and blood came from her feet, and whole lake became contaminated, and whole lake became red like blood. So then this sage said, you know, you taking now water, you contaminated whole lake, you know, just go away. And then Shabari, being in pain, she went to her house. So she went to, you know, to her place, and then these sages have been meditating, what should we do? This lake is contaminated, we cannot perform yagyas, what should we do? So they went to Ganges, brought Ganges, poured in, water didn't change. They brought different kind of, you know, different yagyas, performing different things, trying to purify the lake, it was not possible. So then, this was going on for some time, then Lord Ram came. And Lord Ram came to these sages, and these sages says, you know what? One old sinful lady came, and she contaminated the whole lake. Lake is full of blood. You know what shall we do? Then said, Ram, can you please do one thing? Can you put your feet in a lake? Then lake will be purified. So Lord Ram, being merciful to his devotees, he stepped in a lake, but lake didn't change. There was blood there. So then he says, sages says, please Lord Ram, take dip in water. Then maybe it will, you know, purify. So Lord Ram again took the dip, but water was still blood. So what to do now? Then sages didn't know what to do. He says, Lord Ram, please sip the water and then spill out. Then the lake will, you know. And then he swallowed the water, spilled out, and nothing changed. So Lord Ram asked them, you know, what happened? Why is this lake like this? He says, one Then they explained the story how one sage threw the stone at this lady and blood came out and then it contaminated the whole lake. Then Lord Ram says, you know what? This blood coming from my heart, because you hurt my devotee, my pure devotee, this blood is from heart. You cannot purify with nothing if you, because this lady has so much devotion for me. She performed pure devotional service for him. For me, you cannot purify nothing. And then, same time, Shabari heard that Lord Ram is coming. The Lord Ram is there. She ran towards Ram, who was standing in the lake. And immediately when she touched with her foot lake, immediately the lake became purified. And then all sages saw this and they offered obeisances and respects. And then Lord Ram was invited from Shabari to come to her house. And he came to her house. And what she was doing, this is so deep. She was every day over the years expecting Lord Ram to come. And she was taking the berries and then taking the berries, washing them, and then half eating the berries to try if they are sweet enough for Ram when he comes. So then eating half berries put on a plate for Ram, when Ram will come, he can eat. So then she took these berries, offered these berries to Lord Ram. But then immediately when Lakshman noticed this, he says, you know, you cannot offer this to Ram. Ram, don't eat this, this is contaminated. But then Ram said, no. You must, I'll eat this because this is offered to me with devotion. So it's interesting point how devotional service is so powerful if it's performed in the right way. Shabari was basically eating offering to Ram, but Ram was still accepting because she was doing with so much devotion, and this is why she was so great. So this is seven lessons that we can learn. So I'll just repeat these seven lessons that are actually in Chaitanya Charitamrita, these seven lessons. So one is giving up bad association. We gave example of Ambarish Maharaj's brother. Then second lesson, keeping high standard of a spiritual practice. We gave lesson from two birds searching for eggs. Then third lesson, Prabhupada explaining a renunciation of devotee. Then I gave example of Bhaktisiddhanta and how monkey stole bananas in King Nriga. Fourth lesson that we can learn from this is no time to relax in spiritual life. Fourth lesson from this past and Prabhupada mentioning. And then I explained how Prabhupada got instruction or advice from a librarian to write the books instead of magazines. So this is one of the lessons. Then fifth lesson we can learn is danger of offense to Vaishnava. Then I gave example of Indra and I gave example of Samba stealing... being arrested, and then Balaram came. And sixth lesson, glory of holy place. I gave example of Prabhupada, how wherever Prabhupada go, this was holy place. And final and for me most important is power of devotional service, and we gave example of Shabari, how she was great in her devotional practice. So this is seven lessons which are very, very special. We can learn so many things. I will just end with last point which Srila Prabhupada is mentioning in Bhagavad Gita, which is very much connected with this. So in Bhagavad Gita, 13th chapter, in one of the purport, he says, as for actual advancement in spiritual science, one should have a test to see how far he is progressing. He can judge by these items. So Prabhupada is giving seven items how to test your spiritual life, how much you're advancing. So I'll just mention these seven items. First one is non-violence, how much you are non-violent. Second one is tolerance, how much you are tolerant. Then third one is simplicity of devotee, how much you are simple, you can see how somebody is advancing in spiritual life. Then fourth one, he is Prabhupada, he is explaining purport, is cleanliness. Fifth one is steadiness in spiritual life, how somebody is steady in spiritual life. Sixth one is how big false ego you have. You can then judge your spiritual advancement. And last one, seventh, is detachment, how you are detached from this material world. So these seven items Prabhupada giving us to test us how much we are advancing in spiritual life, where we are at moment. And then we can see how much we can preach also, how much we're advancing, so much we'll be able to preach more. So I'll stop here. Thank you so much. And forgive me if I committed any offenses. And please give me blessings. Hare Krishna.